As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Once again, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. Wow, once again, We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air, baby. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Wednesday, November the 2nd, 2011, two-hour broadcast to become vocal local. Focus that mind, Willie. We're coming to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, my name is still William Roberts. Always news, like to say good news. Don't find too much of that these days. Hard facts, well, yeah, that's the game here. Workable solutions, well, these days, it's anybody's guess. But if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is still the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular. Of all things, it remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com. That's right, becomevocallocal.com. Too many letters to type. Just go into vocallocal.org. You'll get there anyway. Engage in our chat room discussion. Always enjoy the chat room discussion. Or you can pick up the telephone call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call that area code 512-904-8014. To join us live on air from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. You can also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email, as so many do, at bvlhost@centurytel.net. bvlhost, like become vocal local host, at centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening to any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me. I went up and checked the mailbox yesterday. I didn't get any love offerings. Anyway, William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri. 65647, P.O. Box 96, Exeter, Mo. 65647. A big shout out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, RealLibertyMedia.com, Channel 16, and TalkStreamLive.com, all broadcasting this morning. Our calling number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. Precious metals recover as the markets weigh Greek referendum. We'll talk about that. Equities suffer, however. U.S. dollar index softens. The crude oil opens higher. We'll talk about all of that in the market report. The ADP report offers little help for those who are waiting for that. The kosher kidney capers continue. Yeah, that's in the news as well. Back into administrative law, legal positivism, manufacturing, and other things in our second hour of today's broadcast. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to our market report on this Day of the Dead. Yeah, out of Mexico. Day of the Dead. Day of the Walking Dead. The Day of the Dead, Wednesday, November the 2nd, 2011. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. It would be an hour ago. Found gold trading up $8.40 at $1,728.30 a troy ounce in the bullion market. Silver up 28 cents at $33.73. Platinum up $9, up $12 at $1,600 an ounce. And palladium up $9 at $643. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, $1,719.20 for a low, $1,738.20 for a high, and $19 spread in there. But at $1,728.30, your gold is up year-to-year $370.50 for a 27.29% return on your investment. And I can tell you, ain't much else is returning that kind of investment reward. The London Gold Fix this morning, the boys in London, set the price at $1,731 an ounce, and we've been near that and below that all morning. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Hey, Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the meadows of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals, to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough PureEffect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back here on our Wednesday, November the 2nd, 2011, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local, coming at you live as we do Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Again, if you'd like to check out our archives, there's lots of archives available, not only for this broadcast, but everybody else's broadcast here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. No, we don't ding you. We don't ding you, get you in line. You can download them for free. Take them with you wherever you go, but oraclebroadcasting.com, click on the show archives link on the top, and you can take your time and peruse the various broadcasts that are out there. Lots of material archived for your listening convenience and pleasure. Again, back into our market report for this morning, getting a little bit of a comeback from gold and silver. All the metals are looking like the comeback kid this morning. Gold is up $8.40 at $17.28.30. Silver is up again, up 28 cents at $33.73. Platinum is up $12 at $1,600. Palladium up $9 at $643. The SPDR gold shares, they seem to be stuck in freeze frame mode again. They claim to be holding 1,243.55 metric tons, valued at $65.98 billion in their electronic treasure chest. Of course, yeah, Paulson is still in there big and strong and heavy with the World Gold Council in that. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday did not have a good day, closing down 297 at 11,658. The NASDAQ was off 77, closing out at 2607, and the S&P 500 closed off 35 at 1218. And that pretty much carries throughout all of Asia and Europe. Yesterday was not a good day for most anything. Crude oil this morning up $1 at $93.19 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. The U.S. dollar index this morning off 44 basis points at 76.91. Of course, that impacts our foreign exchange rates. There's been a lot of mayhem in the Forex for a while. But this morning, we find the Canadian loonie in our North American Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement trade-weighted basket of currencies. The Canadian loonie this morning up 63 basis points at 98 cents U.S. So it's lost quite a bit recently. Certainly isn't at parity with the U.S. dollar like it's been enjoying all summer. The Mexican peso up 53 basis points. Is barely hanging onto the corner of the taco, as I like to say here, up 53 basis points on the day of the dead at 7 cents a piece. Fill up your pockets with pesos at 7 cents a pop. The euro this morning up 58 basis points at $1.38. The British pound up 49 basis points at $1.60. And the Swiss franc recovering some of its position as well, up 58 basis points at $1.13. In the bond market this morning, of course, you know, Benjamin Shalom, he's going to be out this afternoon talking. We'll speak about that briefly for in a moment. But the bond market this morning, U.S. Treasuries, the bonded indebtedness, the two-year yield is at 0.23%, and the 10-year yield is at 2.05%, and the 30 at 3.08%. The mortgage market this morning, things are stabilizing a little bit here, just kind of a brief pause perhaps. But in the 15-year fixed rate, national average mortgage, the mortgage rate is 3.35%. A month ago this morning at 3.36, virtually unchanged. It is unchanged in the 30-year. A month ago it was at 4.76%. This morning at 4.76%. Your gold to silver ratio will take you 51.23 ounces of silver. Bring home 1 ounce of gold. And just as a side note, the Dubai futures contract for gold is at $1734.80, up $1310. So we look forward into the December futures there. And the trend seems to be our friend. It still continues to run higher. And there's other articles on the desk as well. In the Econo Day calendar, looking at things today, today's a big day. Wednesday's the big day this week. The mortgage bankers' purchase apps are out. We'll go there in a moment. The Challenger job cuts are out and so much more this afternoon. Chairman Benjamin Shalom Bernanke is going to have a conference at 2:15, and the Federal Open Market Committee meeting is going to have their announcement at 12:30. So watch as things happen late in the day today and today's trading. Tomorrow, the jobless claims will be out, productivity, and a lot of other speakers will be making presentations. The Fed balance sheet and the money supply will come out towards the end of the day, and on Friday, we'll end out the week with the employment situation, and I would imagine that ought to cause a little mayhem on Friday as we go into the weekend. But let's look and see what some of these reports have to say. In construction spending yesterday, just glossed this one quickly. Give you a little bit more of it today. The construction sector nudged forward 2 months in a row with relative strength alternating. Wow, what's that got to do with construction? Construction spending in September gained 0.2% after rebounding 1.6% in August. You know, a lot of people are employed in construction. It's not just, you know, John out there swinging the Hart framing hammer. It's all of the rest of the action that's happening behind it. All of the suppliers, the manufacturers, the people that make the plastic siding, the roofing folks that make the roofing, the people that make the drywall, and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of energy that's land, labor, and capital, if you will, that's tied up in the notion of continually building, 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 while our population figures go down and down and down. Anywho, September's advance was led by a 0.9% increase in residential outlays, less than 1%, following a 0.4% rise in August. So in a two-month period, we're not looking at much. Private non-residential construction spending advanced about 0.3%, so we still are going to be impacted by that glut of commercial properties and strip malls that are laying out there just empty. All right, so nobody's building into that marketplace, following a 0.8% rise the month before, again, less than 1%. Public outlays declined 0.6% after a 3.5% boost the prior month. So, of course, as government contracts as well, the public outlays are going to go down. There's going to be fewer treatment plants built, fewer schools started, things like that. On a year-ago basis, overall construction outlays slipped to down 1.3% in September from down 0.7% in August. So overall, we're going into the hopper. Today's construction report shows this sector showing modest improvement and adds to the argument that the recovery is gradually picking up momentum. Well, you better hang on to that sentiment carefully. Let's jump into the mortgage bankers application for a little truth now. Purchase applications for home mortgages rose for a second week, up 1.8% in October. So as we've seen this couple of months long increase in the fixed rate mortgages, more people are noticing that. And they may think, well, you know, Dorothy, maybe we better get into that house that we were looking at if we're going to do it while the interest rates are still good on these mortgages. But again, it was up 1.8% in the October 28th week on top of a 6.4% gain in the October 21st week. So a lot of people still moving around, shuffling, finding new housing for the winter, for their education, for the young. Continuing weekly to nearly reverse the prior week's 8.8% drop. So there was a huge decline and then a little bump back. And that's where we're at today. The refinance index is down 0.2% in the latest week. So you can build all the housing you want. You can have all the houses you've got listed up for sale. But unless people actually sit down and write up a purchase and sale agreement with their realtor and then trottle off to the bank and apply to buy one of those properties, well, it's just all window dressing. We'll be right back.
CC is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey America, it's your old friend W here. Do not tune into True Frequency Radio with Chris and Sherry every Saturday at 10 p.m. Central here on Oracle Broadcasting. Otherwise, the terrorists win.
And yesterday, as I don't know whether any of you noticed or not, but about halfway through the second hour of the broadcast yesterday, my main monitor that I use for the broadcast decided that it was going to take a vacation. I don't know. I touched it somehow or another. I have no idea. But it was materially damaged, I guess. I spent hours frustrating myself trying to get the thing to work. You know, it was just an old monitor anyway. I picked it up pretty inexpensively, as I try to do most of the time. But anyway, it was not going to play games. So I decided, well, I'd just bite the bullet. You know, went to Wally World, the only place around here where it's reasonable. Anyway, and got a new monitor. So now I've got this 20-incher here sitting on the table. And boy, I had to change around the whole studio. So just kind of getting into this bad boy. But it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice. I can have two screens going, split the screen, have two different computers plugged into this Hummer. And wow, things are just looking real cool here this morning. But let's go back into the jolly. I'm sure you couldn't care less. But I'm excited. This is kind of slick. A little too bright for me, but we'll get used to it, I'm sure. As I get the screen lettering high enough, so large enough, so this old poor old tired eyes can see it from the distance. But back into the Challenger job cut report now. Layoff announcements eased in October to 42,759 from an outsized 115,730 in September. Layoff announcements. In other words, I don't know how they do that. You know, usually when you do a layoff, you just go do it. Well, maybe they've done that, and then they announced it later. You usually don't talk about that in business, but I guess somebody does. Layoff announcements, however, eased about half, a little less than half, about 40%. 40% of what it was a month earlier than that. But anyway, it included a big cut in the U.S. Army, so there's 45,000 people that Barry the Usurper sent over there. Now he's calling them back. Well, maybe. I don't know. But they say that it included a big cut in the U.S. Army. I ain't nowhere near enough of a cut. Military bases in over 130 countries around the world, some 670 or 700 military bases. I think we could cut that number substantially. But the October level is near the low end of a trend that offers a mildly positive indication for Friday's employment report. Government layoffs fell to 2,785. We could have taken all of those with the congressmen and all of their aides, and it would have been a very big relief day for America. But anyway, dropped from 54,182 through the report's notes, pending the risk of big cuts in the Postal Service. That's right. Let's get rid of all those male carriers out there, and the female carriers, too. Anyway, consumer products showed the heaviest layoffs in September, with 7,169, followed by retail at 4,254. So, I don't know, it doesn't say anything in here about all of the people that are getting sacked from the banks, but I don't know, maybe those numbers will show up someday. The consumer products showed the heaviest layoffs, so let's just go ahead and import more of those cheese graters and cheese slicers and knives and things like that from China, and we'll just quit making them all together in America. And let's continue. The ADP employment report. Now, this is what everybody's looking for today. The ADP employment, the prior was 91,000, prior revised 116,000. Consensus was for 100,000. The consensus range was from 38,000 to 139,000, and it came in at 110,000. So anyway, the ADP estimates that October private payrolls rose 110,000, little change from September's revised 116,000. Now, you know, when we get the unemployment figures tomorrow, remember, they'll probably be in the neighborhood of 350 to 450 or somewhere in there, 450,000. So this increase, a little bump up here in employment is not going to mean much to the marketplace, I don't imagine. ADP private payroll employment rose 91,000 in September, little change from its revised 89,000 estimate for August. From the employment situation report, private jobs grew 95,000 in September. So all in all, it could be worse, it could be zero, it could be flat, and it's not. And so that's a good thing, especially if you happen to be one of those 95,000 people that finally found a job. Treasury refunding announcement. The November refunding offers no surprises, with the Treasury announcing a $72 billion package split between $32 billion in three-year notes, $24 billion in 10-year notes, and $116 billion in 30-year bonds, all unchanged from the August refunding. Stressing the importance of stability, the Treasury says it's prudent to keep offering sizes unchanged, though it does plan to gradually increase the TIPS issuance next year. Treasury says primary dealers expect the government's fiscal 2012 deficit to total $1.13 trillion. Let's see now. I think that the Joint Select Committee on Deficit Reduction is coming up to a deadline, and there's an automatic $1.2 trillion trigger in there. And so I guess they expect that it's not going to change, with a fiscal 2012 at $951 billion. So if you count in inflation, I guess they're estimating that we're actually going to start going in the other direction and stop spending our way to prosperity. And that'll really upset a lot of people. Well, into the calendar here, just the news is pretty blasé, so I'm just going to touch some highlights and go right through them. Kyushu, or Kyushu, gotta get my ninja face on here this morning. The Kyushu Electric restarts its first reactor since the Fukushima nuclear calamity. This one written by an Aaron Sheldrick and a Taku Kato. Sounds like a condiment. Kyushu Electric Power Company started a reactor at one of its nuclear plants, the first unit to come online since the Fukushima crisis 8 months ago, the worst atomic catastrophe since Chernobyl in 1986. So they're coming back online. Here it is, the 1,180 megawatt number 4 reactor at Jinkai in southwestern Japan, 11 p.m. yesterday. The Fukuoka Japan-based company said in a statement on its website, the unit will start delivering electricity to the power grid later today, the company said, and it continues, in the aftermath of the Great East Japan earthquake. Now, it's all in caps, you know. The Great East Japan earthquake is going down in history. And triple meltdown at the Fukushima Daiichi. It is unthinkable for any nuclear plant to be restarted here before proper safety checks or consultation with the public is conducted, said Junichi Sato, Greenpeace, Japan's executive director. Greenpeace, wow, what a bunch of clowns they are. In a statement, Kyushu Electric must bring forward the regular maintenance plan next month. So, coming back into nuclear power production in Japan. Top gold forecasters see bullion rallying to a record by March. Wait a minute, that's a long ways away. Anyway, you know, the most accurate forecasters, Deborah Roy. Oh, Deborah Roy writing this one for Bloomberg. The most accurate forecasters say gold will rebound from its biggest monthly plunge since 2008 and reach a record by March. A lot of people have been saying that, you know, we're going to get over 2,000 by the end of the year. Of course, it's going to have to hurry up and get there. But this writer is looking out much further than that. Futures traded in New York may rise 12%, blah, blah, blah. Holding in exchange-traded products backed by bullion rose the most in 3 months in October, blah, blah, blah. Here's a quote. There is a loss of trust in the entire financial system and urgent need for safe haven investment, close quote, said Ronald Stoferl at Erste Group Bank AG in Vienna, the second most accurate forecaster in the past 3 months. Quote, the environment for gold is just perfect. So we'll see whether he's right or whether he's wrong. Still a lot more upside potential in the precious metals market.
OracleBroadcasting.com.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Flawless Science believes you deserve the right to have a long and healthy life. You deserve to have toxin-free air and water and foods rich in minerals and nutrients. Factory farming, genetically modified foods, and thousands of environmental contaminants are polluting our world and stripping your right to healthy life away from you. FlawlessScience.com helps you regain these rights. FlawlessScience.com makes natural products and provides the best nutraceutical products to enhance your quality of life, your state of health, and well-being. So whether you're struggling with obesity, diabetes, hypertension, memory loss, allergies, high cholesterol, neuropathy, or to spice things up in the bedroom, FlawlessScience.com is here to help you. FlawlessScience.com ships quickly, worldwide, in discreet packaging, and will never sell your information to anyone for any reason. For all your wellness, weight control, extreme muscle building, and nutraceutical needs, visit FlawlessScience.com today.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, the program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.SwissGoldByTheGram.com or click on our banner ad on the OracleBroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
You know, a couple of years ago, you couldn't have bought an article like this and got it placed on Bloomberg as prominently as this one is for all the love and gold in China. But anyway, here's the article closing it out this way. A measure of the combined earnings of the 16-member Philadelphia Stock Exchange Gold and Silver Index will rise 8.3% this year and almost 27% in 2012, according to analyst estimates compiled by Bloomberg. Barrick Gold Corporation, the world's biggest producer and the largest member of the index, will report net income of almost $4.8 billion this year, compared with $3.27 billion in 2010, the mean of 12 estimates shows. Shares of the Toronto-based company will decline 5.3% this year. Here's the quote. When we look at gold 5 years from now, we will say gold was wildly cheap, said Jason Schenker, the president of Prestige Economics LLC in Austin, Texas, and the fifth best forecaster tracked by Bloomberg. Quote, what happens to gold is going to hinge on what happens to the dollar and that is going to be influenced by what happens in Europe and monetary policy. Okay? And it's tucked out away in your heart, and keep it in mind as we go forward into the end of this year. Palestinians may lose more than they gain from a UNESCO membership. This again off Bloomberg, this one by a Flavia Krause-Jackson and David Lerman, collaboratively writing for Bloomberg. Acceptance into the United Nations Cultural Exchange Agency, UNESCO, best known for its designation of World Heritage Sites. I mean, it's kind of infamous there, isn't it? Best known, hasn't brought the Palestinians closer to full membership in the United Nations itself. If anything, the victory has come at a price. Well, anyway, it goes on, beats up on the Palestinians, and anyway, what would you expect? Palestinian admission to UNESCO is, quote, a complication to the goal they set for themselves, a two-state solution, close quote, said Brian Katulis, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, who studies U.S. security policy in the Middle East. Yeah. Zionists, no doubt. Any boost in public support that the vote may give Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas is questionable, said Katulis, who has worked in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. For many Palestinians, a prisoner swap deal that Hamas, considered a terrorist group by the U.S., Israel, and the European Union. Wait a minute. It's a pot calling the kettle black. As Hal Anthony defines it, terrorism is a system of government ruled by fear, intimidation, and dread. I would say that U.S., Israel, and the European Union are the terrorist groups, but let's just go on with the article. Negotiated with Israel last month, quote, looks a lot stronger than Abbas getting membership in a social cultural organization, close quote. Still, the Palestinian envoy at the UN in Geneva said today that UNESCO membership will be followed by an effort to join 16 other UN agencies within weeks. UNESCO will, quote, open the door for us now to go further in our efforts, close quote. Well, I think climbing into bed with the beast is the wrong plan. Might as well figure out who it was that created the United Nations in the first place and then move forward carefully. Here's a quote. We're making clear to our partners around the world that we oppose continuing this effort in the United Nations organizations, a State Department spokeswoman, Victoria Nuland, said today at a briefing in Washington, quote, we are prepared to maintain our same position if this comes up in other places. While the Palestinians claim they enjoyed a two-third majority in the UN Assembly in New York, General Assembly, the number of abstentions in the similarly sized UNESCO Assembly was more than expected. That Hussein Ibish of the American Task Force on Palestine, a nonpartisan Washington-based group that advocates a peaceful two-state solution with Israel. I mean, that's really asking for an awful lot, being close enough to them to throw a stick or a stone doesn't exactly look for a peaceful solution. But anyway, instead, as things stand, the Palestinians can still only count on 8 council members' votes. Russia, China, Gabon, Nigeria, South Africa, Brazil, Lebanon, and India to vote yes. And I'd have to say that's a lot of support. Russia, China, Brazil, South Africa, and India. That's quite a few people. Some of the most money on the planet, too. So, I don't know. We'll see how that one goes. Libya's central bank, in the news this morning, plans a law to allow Islamic bond sales, Arab credit. Alaa Shahini and Dana El-Baltaji, writing this one collaboratively for Bloomberg, newsy news, Libya's central bank, this is the new one now, Libya's central bank is preparing a law to allow lenders and issuers to sell Islamic bonds as part of its efforts to develop banking services after the fall of, after the assassination attempt, of Muammar Gaddafi. The regulator has formed a committee with the country's banks to prepare the law, as Zedin Ashour, deputy director of research and statistics at the Tripoli-based bank, central bank, said in a telephone interview yesterday. I mean, the dust hasn't even settled, man, and the bank vultures are coming. Libya has 15 banks, all of which have Sharia-compliant, quote-unquote, windows, all right? You go to the bank, you know, and I got one over here, they got the blue light special on. Over here, you know, they got the Sharia law over there. You can go over there. Some banks have the desire to open standalone Islamic branches, and we have local investors who want to set up Islamic banks. He said, quote, if we have Islamic banking with all of its services, its market share will be big. Many people have issues dealing with conventional banks, as they ought, because Libya is largely in an Islamic country. Libya's banking industry will be made Sharia compliant, said Mustafa Abdel Jalil, an Islamic jurist and former justice minister who heads the ruling National Transition Council. Keep that one in your mind, the NTC. He said last week, Al Baraka Banking Group, BSC, a Bahrain-based Islamic bank, will apply for a license in Libya, according to Chief Executive Officer Adnan Ahmed Yosef. Global sales of Sukuk, don't ask me what Sukuk is, I'm not going there, climbed to $18.9 billion in 2011, compared with $13.5 billion in the same period last year. Sharia-compliant banking may flourish in the North African countries, where revolts this year toppled leaders who long persecuted Islamists. Along with Libya, Egypt is also preparing a law that will pave the way for the issuance of Sukuk. What a suck-up going on over in Congress. While the Islamist Party won Tunisia's election last week, says it will encourage the establishment of standalone Islamic lenders. Well, there's a lot more to this article. Our priority is to fix the liquidity problem at banks so that the customers can withdraw money without any limits, he said. This is another bit further in the article. Libya's economy will contract 34% this year and another 16% in 2012, according to projections by the Institute of International Finance. So I guess they're on the way to the dark ages again. Gross domestic product rose 13% in 2010, the data show. The country has, now catch this, no outstanding debt. I mean, to tell you, I think we should have been over there sitting at the feet of Muammar Gaddafi asking for his advice, don't you? Well, at least I do. I'm sure the war caused physical damage and infrastructure disruption, but getting business back up and running shouldn't take too long, said, Jarmo Cottelain, a chief economist at the National Commerce Bank in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Well, and then it goes on, talks about the colossal amount of crude oil reserves that they have there, billions abroad, and things like that, but you know, it's not over yet. Here's another one. Found this one rather interesting. How queer. Libya's NTC, that's that NTC again, elects ex-Alabama professor El-Khaib as the interim prime minister. Well, there's your democracy. Yeah, that's right. You heard it right. Libya's NTC elects an ex-Alabama professor El-Khaib as the interim prime minister of Libya. Zaid Sabah and Carolyn Alexander are writing this one collaboratively. Abdur Rahim El-Khaib, an academic who lived in the U.S. for 10 years, was named as Libya's interim prime minister to guide the country to general elections. El-Khaib was elected by members of the National Transitional Council, gaining 26 out of 51 votes yesterday in the capital. This is new news now. He takes over from Mahmoud Jibril, who resigned when Libya's quote-unquote liberation was declared on October the 23rd, 3 days after the death of Muammar Gaddafi and the fall of his hometown Sirte to forces loyal to the NTC. An Alabama professor, Einstein Institute, Gene Sharp. Wow.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So among many of the bonuses of being a Libyan, you know, free education is one of them. And if you can't get the kind of education that you needed in Libya to pursue your dreams, why, they would send you any place on the planet, I guess, and pave the way. And I guess that might have been what happened to El-Kaib here. He graduated from the University of Tripoli, earned a master's degree from the University of Southern California in 1976. Let's see, 1976, 2012. I guess he's been away a little while, kind of out of touch with his fellow Libyans, huh? Anyway, and a doctorate from North Carolina State University in 1984 before teaching in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, according to a biography posted by the Petroleum Institute in Abu Dhabi, where he's listed as the chairman of the Department of Electrical Engineering. He was one of the Tripoli representatives on the NTC. El-Kaib left everything to join the NTC, formed shortly after Gaddafi put down anti-government protests. Yeah, we're still trying to find the video proof of that. That erupted in the eastern city of Benghazi in February. Salem Kenan, a member of the council, told Al-Arabiya television, El-Kaib, who is also a businessman, was born in Tripoli, Kenan said, speaking of the Kenyan there, Freudian slip, we get the Kenyan, and the Libyans get an Alabama professor. Wow. Anyway, continuing, since taking control of Tripoli, the NTC has sought to unite the factions that helped end Gaddafi's 42-year rule. And just roll it back in your mind. 2012 to 1976, 42-year rule, I guess he might have gotten benefits for education under Gaddafi, and now he's in there as the new prime minister. Well, that's justice. It's the rule of law is coming to Libya. It'd be Sharia law. Pershing's William Ackerman says he's not pressing for the Canadian Pacific sale. You know, the bowtie guy, Mr. Warren Buffett, he bought the Northern Pacific. And here, William Ackerman said he isn't pushing for a sale of Canadian Pacific Railway after his activist hedge fund, Pershing Square Capital Management LP, became the carrier's biggest shareholder. So, from one side of the Canada to the other, the Canadian Pacific Railway runs, and from one side of the United States to the other, the Northern Pacific Railway runs. And so Mickey called in yesterday talking about these international ports of intermodal ports, foreign trade zones, and anywhere the Canadian Pacific Railroad stops on its way will likely become one of those rail hubs. And then we've got the Keystone Pipeline coming, pushing its way down from the north. So, you know, we're all just moving towards this intermodal, interconnected, interoperable, and interdependent system. We don't think the company should be sold, Ackerman said yesterday in a telephone interview, while declining to lay out his strategy for the Calgary-based railroad. And it continues. Just keep your eyes on that one, and I will be following that article. Well, I guess if you look at the kosher kidney capers, it continues. You know, you might think this would be Goys on Ice Incorporated. Organ trafficking gangs force poor to sell kidneys for desperate Israelis. Can you believe it? Headline news. Bloomberg. Wow. This isn't being written by Michael Collins Piper. This is being written for Bloomberg. Michael Smith, Darnia Krasnoluska, and David Glovin collaborating on this one. Alia Ksai Yafimau shudders at the memory of the burly thug who threatened to kill his relatives. I'll just call him Yafi. Yafi, who installed satellite television systems in Bobrujysk, Belarus, answered an advertisement in 2010 offering easy money to anyone willing to sell a kidney. Chop beef, chop liver, chop your kidney out. Anyway, he saw it as a step toward getting out of poverty. Instead, Yafi Mao, Yafi, 30 years old, was thrust into a dark journey around the globe that had him at one point locked in a hotel room for a month in Quito, Ecuador, waiting for surgeons to cut out an organ. The man holding Yafi Mao against his will was Rohini Shim Shilavishvili, a former kickboxer who was an enforcer for an international organ trafficking ring, according to evidence gathered by police in Kiev. Yafi says that when he pleaded with Shim Shil to let him get out of the deal and go home, the big man sliced the air with Thai boxing moves and threatened him. Wow. That picture just leaves me cracked up. Slicing the air. Regained my composure. Thai boxing moves. He said if I didn't go through with it, they would leave me in Ecuador and kill my family, Yafi said. Doctors removed Yafi's left kidney in July of 2010 and transplanted it into an Israeli woman, according to the Kiev police investigation. On the plane back to Belarus on the western border of Russia, Shimi Shilashvili told Yafi that if he wanted to live, he shouldn't talk to the police. Well, he's talking. He's singing his heart out right now. Here's the quote. I'm afraid for my life, says Yafi, standing outside of his mother's Bobrushk apartment building, a nine-story Soviet-era edifice surrounded by weeds and trash. The traffickers paid Yafi $10,000. He says it wasn't worth the fear that haunts him today. And the article continues, and I'll tell you what, this article is long. It's huge, it's full of details and full of information, and you might want to go up and take a look at it. But it continues, and it talks about this. Let's see if I can get down here. Writhing from pain, Center for Trafficking, The EU has administered courts in Kosovo since 2008, the year the country's size of Connecticut declared independence from Serbia after a civil war. And then it goes on. Rattel built a case against 9 doctors, hotel administrators, and recruiters on charges of buying and selling kidneys for patients in Georgia, Germany, Israel, Poland, and the Ukraine, as well as the Canada and the United States. And it continues. There are trials going on, threats of violence. Here's a quote. "This is organized crime," says Rattel. "There's a significant coercion and threats of violence. Organ traffickers search the world for hospitals willing to perform illicit transplants. Sometimes sellers are flown to cities to just wait for procedures, and then traffickers move them to other parts of the globe when they find a recipient in a hospital willing to cooperate. While the illegal organ trade may be run by seasoned criminals, it depends on the complicity of doctors and hospitals." And it continues. Let's see if I can find the one that I want. Religious debate. "In Israel, an unresolved religious debate hampers on organ donation. You know, you've got to get a kosher label even on your peanut butter in America, but they're willing to take a goy organ anywhere they can find it." They don't get the kosher certification label on that, I suppose. "But from both the living and the dead." Now, I think we need to understand this idea about transplanting organs from the dead. You can go back up on the oraclebroadcasting.com homepage and go over to Truth Quest with Melody Hallett, and she's interviewed at least one individual that is knowledgeable on this business of organ transplant. And typically, it ain't like going to the pound and finding a dead dog. You're going to need somebody that's got a living body in order to get an organ out of them. And if they're alive when you take the organ, like a heart, out of them, they will be dead thereafter. They didn't die from a heart attack. They died from an organ transplant that was brought on by a heart attack. "It's not permitted to remove any organ." Well, let's back up. "In Israel, an unresolved religious debate hampers organ donation from both the living and the dead. Rabbi Yosef Shalom Eliashiv, a leading arbiter of Jewish law in Israel, advises that donating body parts..." What is this anyway? 57 Chevy front clip. "Violates religious tradition, which holds that upon death, a body should be buried intact." I wonder if they visit that upon the Palestinians that they shower with white phosphorus. "It's not permitted to remove any organ." Eliashiv, who's 101 years old, said in a public statement in March of 2008, well, boy, he's got to be living, right? 101 years old, the Rabbi Yosef Shalom Eliashiv. Shmuel Eliyahu, the chief rabbi of Safed, Israel, is leading a drive to get 100 colleagues to sign a document advocating organ donation. He says the Torah tells people to help others when they can, especially if it means saving a life. He says donating an organ is a mitzvah or a good deed. Oh, yeah. "I hope that many more Jews will become part of the organ donation network. It's very profitable."
That the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc. The home of cutting-edge talk radio. Online, worldwide, at oraclebroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, that's probably about all the news that we need to have today before we transition into our discussion of administrative law. Let's go to the telephone and go to the phone banks and pick up this caller on the wild card line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Do you remember, I think it was a little over a year ago, I read an article where a whole bunch of rabbis got arrested in a sting operation in New Jersey for organ trafficking. Do you remember that case at all?
Absolutely. I reported on it. It's in the archives. And this is broadcast, you know, this morning. One of the reasons why I keyed on these two lengthy stories is because it's a continuation on the same theme, and we seem to have the same gang of criminals involved in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it just reminded me of that. I think I read it in the Boston Globe or something like that, maybe a year and a half or two ago.
Yeah, you could just go up and jump into the, even in the Bloomberg search box and probably pick it up again. It's Rabbi Organ Trafficking. And I think there's at least two or three, maybe four articles, and I probably have links to them myself if I spent the time to dig them out.
So it sounds like they're back to their old tricks again, huh?
Well, they are, and, you know, it's really one of those things, you know, everybody is asked, when, even in a school age, you know, the boys and girls are asked to consider being organ donors, and when you go and apply for that driver license, you know, they want you to check a little box, and then you can get a mark put on your driver license that says you're an organ donor. And I certainly would not recommend that for anybody, because as we learn more about organ transplant, in order to get the vital organs out of a body, they have to take them out of a living body. You know, so you might go into the back of the ambulance, and you hear about this in the newspaper a lot. You might go in on a gurney alive. But because they can see the organ transfer, you know, organ donation, you know, signification on your driver license, you might arrive at the hospital ready for a transplant.
Yeah. I saw Deanna Spingola did a couple of shows on that a while ago on another network, and that's what they were saying. There was a lady she was interviewing who said that, her son, you know, was, I guess he was about 16 years old, and they did what you were just saying. Basically, they didn't try to save his life because he was an organ donor, and they wanted that organ.
Well, it's worth more.
One of those organs.
It's worth more for the organs sometimes than it is, you know, the trouble of trying to keep somebody alive. Absolutely. And I think I got a link sent to me in our email basket from someone that listened to that broadcast on Deanna's broadcast.
Yeah, and you know, what I've been hearing is, like, a lot of these Jewish organ traffickers, you know, it's like Russian mafia stuff, and, like, Russian mafia is mostly Jews. And what they do over in Eastern Europe, where it's people are extremely poor, and they'll tell them, you know, I can get you $5,000, you know, for your kidney, and then they sell it for fifty or 80,000 or 100,000 or whatever it is, you know, and it's pretty sick, man.
Well, you know, you think about it, the way it plays on somebody's mind. If you've never seen a $100 bill and somebody starts talking about thousands, like 10,000, you know, I mean, that's for people to live on just a few dollars a day or a couple of dollars a month, you know, 10,000, 50,000, that sounds like big money. But from some of the articles that I've read, caller, it's rare that they ever get paid what they were told they were going to get paid in the first place, if they get paid at all.
But, I mean, even if, I guess some of these organs, you know, like a, will sell for, you know, 50 grand or up to 100 grand, and, you know, when you're paying somebody 5,000, they probably tell them, hey, you don't need it anyway. You do fine without it.
Yeah, you got two kidneys. Yeah, really. Incredible. All right. All right. Thanks for calling in this morning. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Good stuff.
All right.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again. In this hour, we're going to talk about administrative law, continuing from where we left off yesterday and reviewing some of what was covered yesterday as well, just as a reinforcer out of the Funk and Wagnall New Encyclopedia in 1972. Now, like so many encyclopedias, necessarily, and I've got older ones than this, I have one to go back into the 1960s, this Funk and Wagnall, and they're pretty good encyclopedias, even though they're kind of like the poor man's version of a set of encyclopedias. They're certainly much more accessible to a wider audience than you would, say, going and getting a set of Encyclopedia Britannica or even the Americana. Nonetheless, as I mentioned yesterday, I have been quite pleased with these Funk and Wagnall encyclopedias. because even for a basic encyclopedia set, the information contained in them, and of course this is all in law, this is all considered secondary sources rather than primary sources. You know, the opinions of the court carry precedent, they establish precedent that the secondary sources just don't have. But it helps us to understand, because sometimes you can get on base with something that's really deep and involved quickly by consulting a quality encyclopedia. So I shared this article yesterday. It's only two paragraphs long, but it's extremely poignant. It's pregnant with information. I'm going to blow through this and go right in to other work here. So again, in review from yesterday, administrative law is a body of law applicable to the operation of agencies established by the legislature to carry out the function of the executive branch of government. The Interstate Commerce Commission and the Federal Communications Commission are examples of such agencies. In the United States and Great Britain, the courts do not generally apply a distinctive body of law to such agencies until about the beginning of the 20th century, so the late 1900s. On the European continent, however, the courts had earlier recognized a separate administrative law, which was often known by the French term droit administratif, administrative law. Administrative law in the U.S. is basically concerned with whether proper standards are applied by the administrative agencies in exercising their powers and in making and enforcing regulations. So administrative law is part of this this notion of constitutionally limited, all right, Republican form of representative government. This idea is that we would limit the power of the agencies, and certainly after that plethora of agencies that poured out following Franklin Delano, during and following Franklin Delano Roosevelt's administration. And again, it's really a branch or a function of the executive branch of government. You can say we have a headless fourth branch of government, but it is under the executive's jurisdiction or domain, if you will. Kind of like a downline, if you want to use Amway terminology. But if an agency does not apply the proper standards, its failures may be redressed by application to the courts. And, of course, that's where jurisdictionary and all these others, you know, that are out there studying law and helping us to figure it out, that's where they come in. Although a court may not substitute its own judgment for that of the agency, in other words, the court can't really talk about whether the spotted owl has preeminence or a barred owl has preeminence or whether the coho salmon has anything to say, about salmon life, but they can look at how the agencies have made their application and rule on that. The court may declare the regulation a nullity. So we could appeal to the great supremes in the black robes for a nullity. They declare the regulation a nullity. As we become vocal local, we need to know how to block this globalist agenda. And if we know how to properly apply the law, we can hope to have the courts on our side if we can show or conclude in a court of law that a particular regulation should be considered a nullity if the agency, by promulgating such a regulation, has exceeded the authority conferred by the legislature. And so yesterday when Vicky called in as regards to are these foreign trade zones trusts, well, again, you've got to go in and you have to look at the original documents. I hate to surmise without having seen any of them, and I've never looked at them, so I couldn't say one way or the other. But you need to understand, we need to understand from our own studies of trust that you've got both express and implied. In one, it ought to be easy enough to determine because it'll be written down. In the other one, you have to infer it. It gets implied by its behavior through precedent, or you could say by prescription. For a long time, they've done it this way, and this implies a trust. It's an implied trust. In determining that a regulation has been violated, substantial proof is required. So you're not just going to be able to come in willy-nilly and challenge this branch, this administrative law. But if you have conclusive evidence and can present the case and argue it and move the court in the right direction, you might find relief there. Perhaps the people out on the Klamath River could pursue this branch of inquiry. With the multiplication of federal administrative agencies in the U.S. during the 1930s, again, that's FDR, a means of making administrative regulations reasonably accessible to the public became necessary. Again, this article and provides all of the clues. It drops them all out in a line for you so you can go back in and look it up for yourself. But here it continues, a means of making administrative regulations reasonably accessible to the public became necessary. The Federal Register Act, write that one down, enacted in 1935, the Federal Register Act provides that all federal regulations must be published in the Federal Register. And for more on that, visit Ralph Winterroad's website, justbelli.com. It's an old website now, but justbelli, J-U-S-B-E-L-L-I, .com. And he's got quite a bit more information on that. A regulation that is not published in this manner is not binding upon persons who are unaware of its existence. So they've got to follow the rules, and the this branch of law, the administrative law, is all about making them follow the rules. And if they don't follow their own rules, well, it just falls on its own face. A regulation that is not published in this manner is not binding upon persons who are unaware of its existence. How would you know if they don't publish it in their regular register? But unless you regularly go there, how would you know anyway, even if it was published? They don't bring it out on Bloomberg. All right? We don't report on it here. You've got to be, ever vigilant. At periodic intervals, all federal regulations still in force must be codified and published in a compilation called the Code of Federal Regulations. They're also CFRs. The Administrative Procedures Act, which was enacted in 1946, provides that before a federal agency promulgates a general regulation, interested parties must be afforded an opportunity to present their views. Again, this is a time to become vocal local. Another safeguard is that the investigation and the prosecution of alleged violations may not be undertaken by the same person who will render the adjudication. And that's to be, that's a legal sentence that needs to be carefully examined. I wouldn't know how to respond to that right off the bat. Now, yesterday I gave you the definition of this administrative law out of the Black's Law Dictionary, Black's Revised Fourth Edition. This is out of my Black's Eighth Edition. Same sort of stuff, but it has advanced considerably from one edition to the next. Administrative law. This is far more complex now. The law governing the organization and the operation of administrative agencies, including executive and independent agencies. Once again, that executive. We'll be right back.
Flawless Science believes you deserve the right to have a long and healthy life. You deserve to have toxin-free air and water, and foods rich in minerals and nutrients. Factory farming, genetically modified foods, and thousands of environmental contaminants are polluting our world and stripping your right to healthy life away from you. FlawlessScience.com helps you regain these rights. FlawlessScience.com makes natural products and provides the best nutraceutical products to enhance your quality of life, your state of health, and well-being. So whether you're struggling with obesity, diabetes, hypertension, memory loss, allergies, high cholesterol, neuropathy, or to spice things up in the bedroom, FlawlessScience.com is here to help you. FlawlessScience.com ships quickly, worldwide, in discreet packaging, and will never sell your information to anyone for any reason. For all your wellness, weight control, extreme muscle building, and nutraceutical needs, visit FlawlessScience.com today.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans. The program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.swissgoldbythegram.com or click on our banner ad on the oraclebroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Come explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
And we might keep in mind that Black's Fourth Law Dictionary was published back in 1968. Black's Eighth, which I'm referring to now, was published in 1999. As time passes, things change. You know, and these encyclopedias and these dictionaries bring out different information, of course, they would. But in law, particularly, we need to pay attention to the way law is defined, words are defined, terms are used, etc., as we progress further and further into this maniacal time period that we live today. The meaning of words is not static. We found from Auguste Comte, you know, that everything is relative and there are no absolutes. Everything is relative and there are no absolutes. Up is up. William Jefferson Clinton said, it all depends on what is. But again, administrative law, the law governing the organization, the operation of the administrative agencies, including executive and independent agencies. And so now we're opening this door to these independent agencies. We have those agencies that are under the umbrella of the executive branch of government. And apparently there are also independent agencies. And the relations of administrative agencies with the legislature, the executive, the judiciary, and the public, right? The relations of these administrative agencies. Administrative law is divided into three parts. The statutes endowing agencies with powers and establishing rules of substantive law relating to those powers. And that's important, statutes. Of course, they're all copyright these days. The same gangster banksters are, you know, in control of the media, or control of the lawyers, the legislative bill drafting research facilities all across in every one of the several states and the state capitals. You look at the bottom of your statutes, they're all copyrighted material. This is part of this international, well, we'll come to that in a moment. So number one, the statutes endowing the agencies with powers and establishing rules of substantive law relating to those powers. Two, the body of agency made law. Wait a minute, I thought Congress made law. Whoops, no. The body of agency made law. Let's see, we got judge made law. I guess this is all just soft law, right? We got judge made law, now we've got agency made law, we got Congress made law, and none of them follow any of them. Consisting of administrative rules, regulations, reports, opinions containing findings of fact and orders. Wow. The body of agency-made law consisting of administrative rules, regulations, reports, opinions containing findings of fact and orders. And three, the legal principles governing the acts of public agents when those acts conflict with private rights. All right? Gets to be a little bit more complex, a little bit more interesting, but for those of us who are tired of having the jackboot on our throats, perhaps we need to spend a little bit of our time researching this. You know, it helps so much when you're in a public meeting to be able to bring out something like this on point, on topic, in the middle of a discussion, and it just blows them away down at the county commission or down at the county courthouse, down at the at your city council or your planning board, because generally speaking, it's been my experience, they don't have any clue. They don't go here. They don't listen to Become Vocal Local in the morning. It makes them tremble, gives them nightmares, makes them stay awake late at night. Anyway, and then it goes on and lays out some cases. Here's a couple of quotes. Administrative law deals with the field of legal control. Legal control, not lawful control. We're not talking about the laws of nature and nature's God here. This is legal control exercised by law administering agencies other than courts. And the field of control exercised by courts over such agencies. So it's a two-way street. And if we understand how that intersection functions, we may be able to find some remedies here, some real solutions. Let's go a little further. The next quote, administrative law is to labor law, securities regulation, and tax what civil procedure is to contracts, torts, and commercial law. And if you get into civil procedure and criminal procedure, and up there and visit with Randy Kelton and Deborah Stevens and Rule of Law and everybody on the network there, that'll help to open your understanding of this as well. And then, of course, there's the jurisdictionary and lots more. Go up on, you know, Thompson West or West Reuters, and you can find a lot of books available at high dollar, the law books available that will help you with that, too, and some CDs and forms and things like that. But continuing, it is therefore the procedural component to any practice that affects or is affected by government decision makers other than just the courts. Its study goes beyond traditional questions. It explores a variety of procedures, and it develops ideas about decision making and decision makers, administrative law. Right? And then it has this, international administrative law. Ever wonder why all this stuff is harmonized? We're interoperable, interconnected, and interdependent, right? International administrative law. This is like International Uniform Law Commission. The internal law and rule of international organizations. There's lots of international organizations, the United Nations beast system being but one. The substantive rules of international law that directly refer to the administrative matters of individual states. And then three, domestic administrative law specifically concerned with international problems or situations. It's also termed administrative international law. And then there's an administrative judge. Excuse me, administrative law judge. It's an official who provides at an administrative hearing. Do you know what court you're in? An official who presides at an administrative hearing and who has the power to administer oaths, take testimony, rule on questions of evidence, and make factual and legal determinations. So you would want to be before an administrative law judge, apparently, when you're arguing these kinds of cases. And then it continues, the Administrative Procedures Act, a federal statute establishing practices and procedures to be followed in rulemaking and adjudication. The act was designed to give citizens basic due process protection. If we have no due process and we don't understand how to bring it forward, we have nothing in law. We're naked on a battlefield, in a foxhole, with no protection. The act was, again, designed to give citizens basic due process protections, such as the right to present evidence and to be heard by an independent hearing officer. Can't find an officer anywhere, right? A similar state statute is also there. An administrative procedure proceeding, a hearing, inquiry, investigation, or a trial before an administrative agency, usually adjudicatory in nature, but sometimes quasi-legislative. Watch all that, quasi-constitutional, quasi-legal, quasi-governmental body. It's also termed an evidentiary hearing, a full hearing, a trial-type hearing, an agency adjudication. The administrative process, it's the procedure used before administrative agencies. And it gives some case law to go with it. It also talks about administrative revenue, administrative review, and an administrative rule. What's this one? An officially promulgated agency regulation that has the force of law. Seems like we might want to pay attention here.
Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So continuing a little bit further here with our consideration of administrative law out of the Black's Law Dictionary, which has far more heads on this topic than does the Black's Fourth. Amazing what 30 years can do in time. But the administrative proceeding, it's a hearing, inquiry, investigation, or trial before an administrative agency, usually adjudicatory in nature, but sometimes quasi-legislative, the administrative process. It's the procedure used before administrative agencies. Administrative remedy, administrative review, an administrative rule, an officially promulgated agency regulation that has the force of law. Administrative rules typically elaborate the requirements of a law or a policy. So getting your hands on those rules would be helpful. Public law, public administration law and procedure is the code CJS. That's, it's been a while since I was looking at that. I know what that is. I don't remember. Administrative rulemaking. Administrative search. Administrative search warrant. Administrative tribunal. An administrative agency before which a matter may be heard or tried. As distinguished from a purely executive agency, an administrative agency exercising a judicial function. So there's a lot more here. Public administrative law and procedure goes into all of that. And then an administrative warrant. So having said all of that and studied our language a little bit to get ready for this, now we're going to go to the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences. This article is very good. It's longer than the other by a long ways. It's several pages in length. I'm going to go as far as we can in the balance of the broadcast. Again, the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, this is their Führer's professors, the Hochschule for Politik. Right? This stuff was published a long time ago. Long time ago. Frank Boas and so many other people were involved in putting this all together. Let's see if I can find this. Well, we don't want to waste too much time on the background. But nevertheless, this is out of the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences and was originally published in copyright in 1930 by the Macmillan Company. I have the entire set donated to our library by my good friend Pete in Washington. Always appreciate it. I turn to these encyclopedias often. Administrative law. Again, administrative law on the continent of Europe. The central idea of administrative law in the French and German jurisprudence is the differentiation of civil and criminal justice from other functions of government. So if you go in on civil and, you know, criminal, and you're dealing with administrative law, you've made your first mistake, apparently. For the adjudication of controversies between private persons and for the punishment of crimes, there exist courts which are surrounded by the constitutional guarantees of independence. A question about guarantee in our chat room overnight. Take a lot more time to answer that one well. I have to do some research to give it the answer it needs and deserves. But continuing, for the adjudication of controversies between private persons and for the punishment of crimes, there exist courts which are surrounded by constitutional guarantees of independence, but the executive power is not, in principle, subject to their jurisdiction. All right, so we've got international administrative law. And we found in the previous article that this droit administratif out of France predates them all. But that for a long time, the executive power is not in principle subject to the civil and criminal justice jurisdiction. Inevitably, however, exercise of governmental powers in the matters of police, revenue, and public services will, by reason of the silence or the ambiguity of statutory texts, or by reason of disputed facts, give rise to controversies, and unless private parties are to be subjected to an unregulated official discretion, there must be devised orderly processes as part of the executive power for these determination of these controversies. And these, in turn, will produce principles analogous to those administered or evolved by the ordinary court. So we're not in an ordinary court. It's not necessarily going to be the rules of civil procedure and the rules of criminal procedure. There's going to be something else laying out there that we need to understand and be aware of. This body of law controlling the exercise of governmental power. Doesn't that sound sweet to you? It does to me. I always like to be able to block the globalist agenda right where we are in our towns, our cities, our counties, and our states, outside of traditional civil and criminal justice, is designated as administrative law. I think we need to get to be experts here. It covers both regulative legislation and its interpretation, and the inherent principles of official power. Official power. You know, if we actually become the replacement set here, if we actually prevail, embed within the established two-party system, and bring them low, and reconvene them as the Democratic Republican Party for the period of time, I think about 12 years for the completion of Operation Clean Sweep, and we actually restore a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government, we might need to understand this administrative law. It gives people remedy that they wouldn't afford otherwise. And initially, it sounded like a pretty good idea. The exclusion of the jurisdiction of the ordinary courts leads to a demand for a substitute. And in France and many other continental states, special administrative courts have been established. And so there might be a considerable amount of research that could be done, and we'll go to that later, give you some clues, what we can learn from the history of this administrative law in France, Droit Administratif, and Germany. Continuing, the development of a theory of administrative law is greatly stimulated by a distinct organ of jurisprudence and by the necessity of marking the jurisdiction of administrative from that of ordinary tribunals. That's not something that I've heard Mr. Graves speak of when he talks about jurisprudence or jurisdictionary. He's looking at the civil and criminal side of things, mostly from his experience, civil. But there's this whole other distinct tribunal that lays out here that is known as administrative law. Administrative law has thus become, on the continent of Europe, a major department of legal science and has accordingly a status equal to that of civil and criminal law. You see, there are three here. Administrative and judicial powers in the Anglo-American system. That's why we found in the Funk and Wagnalls encyclopedia the mention there of the U.S. and Great Britain, the Anglo-American system. Two M's and an E, system me. Under the common law of England, wow, gosh, received in America. It was received in America from whom? Blackstone's commentaries. It was the way it was received and transmitted, largely. But it also goes back to Sir Edward Coke and Littleton, Coke con Littleton and others. It goes all the way back to the Etrangement, the English common law. Under the common law of England, received in America, the jurisdiction of the regular courts over controversies involving the validity of official acts with power to grant relief against organs of the administration was never lost. 1920s, 1930s. We've never lost. Still there. We just need to know how to access it. Moreover, where legislation had to operate through official powers over individuals of a compulsory or determinative nature, such powers were apt to be vested in courts. In England, locally, in the justices of the peace. And of course, here in Arkansas, there are justices of the peace, perhaps in other states as well. And not in administrative officers. So the other system, under the common law of England, received in America, that system, there was relief. There was remedy. The old common law officer, executive officer, the sheriff, I'll say that again, the old common law executive officer, the sheriff, was a ministerial officer of the king's court. A ministerial officer of the king's court. England and the American state governments lacked the bureaucratic organization characteristic of the continental monarchical systems as the latter developed during the 17th and the 18th centuries. It is true that in America, the organization of local governments separated administrative from judicial functions and the important power to grant licenses for the sale of intoxicating liquors, which was in England vested in the justices of the peace, was in most American states exercised by local administrative authorities. And I'll come back and say that again, but once again, let's understand this very interesting revelation that I've been sharing with you over and over again, that in the rise of, well, I should start at the beginning, there is an all-out war raging. between legal positivism. It exists. Few speak of it, other than here, but legal positivism exists. Anthony J. Seebach, modern professor in law, talks about it in his book. We can pick that up in a moment. Be right back.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
So once again, kind of the power of this unusual thing that popped into my head back on June the 30th, just at midnight, and the following morning on July the 1st, the year that the RBN network was just getting started. Jack Blood was still broadcasting out of WARL or WHRL, I think it was WARL out of Rhode Island, and contemplating the move to Austin, Texas to join the RBN lineup. This was at the time of the RNC in New York. But anyway, I had this idea. Was fortunate, lucky, absolutely fortunate and lucky to get it written down as it came to me. But there's an all-out war raging between legal positivism, very real body of law, concept in law, theory of law, legal positivism, and the natural law, the laws of nature, nature's God, all men being created equal, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, these truths being self-evident. There's a war raging, an all-out war raging between legal positivism and the natural law. That in the rise of statism, the state has arrogated unto itself all of the natural law returned as codified, statutory, regulated, privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable. And as we go through these articles here, keep that in mind. I certainly always am. But in the Funk and Wagnalls Encyclopedia, many of those terms came up. And in this article as well, we'll have even more. So we can see how pertinent and relevant and timely that interesting thought was. I consider it to be a revelation. I was seeking truth. Guide me into all truth and keep me from error. That was the most powerful statement I've ever written on paper. Got it in two parts. Anyway, it certainly has made the focus of the past 5 years' study very interesting. But continuing, and how important it is here, the important power to grant licenses, licensable, taxable, and revocable, licenses for the sale of intoxicating liquors or any other thing that you want to talk about. Handguns, for God's sakes. Have a license for everything these days. But again, the important power to grant licenses for the sale of intoxicating liquors, which was in England vested in the Justices of the Peace, was in most American states exercised by local administrative authorities and questions in connection with their licensing power. Do you have a driver license? Do you have a license to have a business? Do you have a license to practice, you know, naturopathic medicines? Do you have to be licensed for, you know, to be a masseuse or a hairdresser? You know, oh my God, insanity. To give as a tattoo parlor? And questions in connection with this licensing power compelled the courts to consider the problem of administrative discretion. And we need to learn to discern. And then we need to evaluate this administrative discretion. What the hell do you mean that you have something to say over how I cut somebody's hair? If Joe Doke wants to come over here in my kitchen and have me clean his teeth, what the heck is it to you? Okay? Well, they think it's their business, and they make it your business their business. But administrative orders were not a conspicuous part of the machinery of government, and on the whole, administrative law, as we know it now, until the latter part of the 19th century, remained undeveloped, and the term meant nothing to the legal profession. Administrative law. The term meant nothing to the legal profession. While we still, you know, were men and women were women, and America's skies were blue, and we were the land of the free and the home of the brave. All that's been set aside, hasn't it? Among jurists, there was a tendency to regard it as something foreign to common law. And isn't it nice when I keep running across this gentleman's name? When Professor Albert Van Dicey, in his Introduction to the Study of the Law of the Constitution, 8th edition, London, 1915. It's available on the web. I went and looked and found a copy. It's not a copy. It's the downloadable version. A.V. Dicey, Introduction to the Study of the Law of the Constitution, 8th edition, London, 1915. And that 8th edition is important. There was a change in that text at that time. And the 8th edition, the thing you want to look at in there is the introduction to that book. Anyway, it contrasts the droit administratif of France with the quote-unquote rule of law in England. It makes a very interesting read. The great treatises of the German professor Neist, G-N-E-I-S-T, Professor Neist, on English administrative law. You just type that into your browser, bingo, bangle, up they come as well. Professor Neist, G-N-E-I-S-T, on English administrative law, apparently received little, if any, attention in England. In America, there were well-known treatises on the law of officers, the law of municipal corporations, and the law of extraordinary legal remedies, but to the present day, the term administrative law is not to be found in legal digests and is uncommon in judicial decisions, 1930, when the set of encyclopedias was written. Again, until the present day, that would be the author writing, the term administrative law is not to be found. Why? Well, some things are better hidden. The rise of American administrative law. As a subject of instruction, administrative law obtained a status in university departments of government or political science before it gained a foothold in law school. So it was already being discussed. This is public opinion and cross currents of public opinion as they shape law and legislation at this time period. But as a subject of instruction, administrative law obtained a status in university departments of government or political science before gaining a foothold in law school. Political science teachers emphasize the problems of organization. And for that, you can look for the book, and it's on the web as well, Good Now, just like it sounds, Good Now, Comparative Administrative Law. I found all of these over the weekend. And the more purely legal aspects of powers and remedies did not become dominant until professional law schools gave the subject a place in the curriculum, which was done only very slowly. So the law was very reluctant in America to accept or the admission, to admit into a study as a third branch of law, administrative law. Philip Drew, the administrator, right? Colonel Edward Mandelhaus. Continuing, even today, it does not occupy, again, this is the 30s, even today it does not occupy the same position as constitutional law. The scientific study of the subject received a new stimulus when the Commonwealth Fund in New York placed it among the research topics to be systematically pursued and subsidized. Now, the Commonwealth Fund in New York, you can also browse that up, and it'll come right up for you. And then you'll have to do some studying, as they don't have the information that we need for administrative law and their support of it on their website. They talk a lot about health care and those sorts of things, but they don't show how they supported, financed, and funded that. But it's an interesting fund nonetheless. And remember Renee Wormser's excellent book, Foundations, Their Power and Their Influence, Renee Wormser. W-R-M-E-S-E-R, Renee Wormser, R-E-N-E. In America, the awakening of the legal profession to the problems of administrative law is associated with the regulation of public utilities. Now remember, first place you look is at government, the second place you look is in political science, and the third place you look is public utilities. Now when I did that over the weekend, I mean, I've got encyclopedias again stacked up around me that just doesn't want to quit. But if you go in and look at those three elements, public utilities, local and state governments, and political science, you're going to find out a lot more about administrative law than you're going to find when you just go look for it in the encyclopedias for articles. Very scant discussion in common sources, secondary sources on administrative law. It takes people like Ralph Winterode to dig it all out for us. And I'm not even going to attempt any of the things that he's done. Why cover the same ground? I'm just giving you some background here. As we study legal positivism, by the way. In America, again, the awakening of the legal professions to the problems of administrative law is associated with the regulation of public utilities, operating through commissions vested with power to issue orders. Now, that was in the 1930s. Think about all the unelected boards and councils today, vested with powers. Commissioned with the authority to issue orders. Well, we'll have to leave it there. Carry it on tomorrow. Hope you'll be back. I will be. See you in the next time. Good day.
Taking it back one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Micro plant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Flawless Science believes you deserve the right to have a long and healthy life. You deserve to have toxin-free air and water and foods rich in minerals and nutrients. Factory farming, genetically modified foods, and thousands of environmental contaminants are polluting our world and stripping your right to healthy life away from you. FlawlessScience.com helps you regain these rights. FlawlessScience.com makes natural products and provides the best nutraceutical products to enhance your quality of life, your state of health, and well-being. So whether you're struggling with obesity, diabetes, hypertension, memory loss, allergies, high cholesterol, neuropathy, or to spice things up in the bedroom, FlawlessScience.com is here to help you. FlawlessScience.com ships quickly, worldwide, in discreet packaging, and will never sell your information to anyone for any reason. For all your wellness, weight control, extreme muscle building, and nutraceutical needs, visit FlawlessScience.com today.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.